I was asking a friend recently if he had any plans for summer holidays, not really expecting that he had plans made yet, but he had. He said that he and his wife were going to Canada to do a road trip in the area of the Rocky Mountains. They were going to hire a car and travel a bit, and the high point of their travels would take them through the Rockies. I got the impression that he was looking forward to this, something he and his wife had always wanted to do. I also got the impression that it would be a one-off, not something they would repeat, having done it. Today is the day we call Palm Sunday, the day when Jesus set out on a road trip, a road trip that was never far from his mind, and a road trip that he would not repeat. Jesus' road trip was going to take him into Jerusalem for the last time, just before the cross, and then his resurrection. We know that today is called Palm Sunday because branches from palm trees were either being waved as Jesus traveled along, or they were being thrown on the road before him as a kind of red carpet. What can we say about this road trip Jesus was on? I suggest to you, first of all, it was a road trip with purpose. Jesus was not taken in the direction of Jerusalem by the designs of the crowd. He was not taken there because the religious leadership of the day said so. Jesus was not heading in the direction of Jerusalem to engage again with those who disagreed with him. We know from John 10, verse 18, that Jesus was going to Jerusalem of his own accord, of his own free will, and with the cross in mind. In John 10, verse 18, Jesus tells us that no one would take his life from him, and that he had the authority to lay it down and to take it up again. And painful and all, as the events of Holy Week would be for him, especially Good Friday, still he traveled on. On more than one occasion during his ministry, Jesus said what was going to happen to him. For example, back in Luke chapter 9 at verse 22, we read these words. And he, Jesus, said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." He was on a road trip with purpose. Christian writer Max Lucado, in his book called And the Angels Were Silent, says this with regards to Jesus and Jerusalem and the cross. Lucado says, and I quote him, "Forget any suggestion that Jesus was trapped. Erase any theory that Jesus made a miscalculation. Ignore any speculation that the cross was a last-ditch attempt to salvage a dying mission. For if the words of Luke 9 tell us anything, they tell us that Jesus died on purpose. No surprise, no hesitation, no faltering." Lucado goes on, "The journey to Jerusalem didn't begin in Jericho or in Galilee. It didn't even begin at Bethlehem. The journey to the cross began long before. as the crunching of the fruit was still sounding in the garden, Jesus was on his way to Calvary. The road trip Jesus was on was a road trip with purpose. Jesus knew where he was going on the first Palm Sunday, and he knew what he was going there to do. Within a week from Palm Sunday, Jesus was going to die on a cross as a once-for-all payment for sin. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom or as a payment for many. A road trip with purpose. Folks, most of us look forward to setting off for a weekend away or to going off on holiday. Some look forward to the springtime and to a walk in the park or to going on a trip to some place of interest. Thoughts of such things can put a spring, so to speak, in our step. We don't look forward to a visit to a doctor or a dentist with the same excitement, do we? Imagine what it must have been like for Jesus setting out for Jerusalem, knowing what was going to happen to him there. Any wonder we read of him in anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, hours before the cross? Any wonder he asked his Father if things could be different, and yet always wanting to do his Father's will? We might find it hard to get our heads around this, but as Jesus made his way to Jerusalem and to the cross, we were on his mind. You were on his mind. I was on his mind. He was going there to pay the price for our sins, that as we turn from them, confess them, repent of them, and receive him as Savior, we are forgiven and our relationship with God is made new. The road trip Jesus was on was a road trip with purpose. What was agreed in heaven, what was agreed in all eternity, was happening in space and time on earth. And all of this for our good. Not only a road trip with purpose, but a road trip with praise. Again, Luke 19 at verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. I wonder, did you notice there why some, perhaps many, were praising Jesus as he rode towards Jerusalem? Well, it's there in verse 37. The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. I would think there were people in the crowd Jesus had healed. Perhaps someone whose sight he had restored. Maybe someone whose leprosy he had cured. Perhaps there were some in the crowd from the wedding at Cana where Jesus turned the water into wine. There would have been people there who witnessed Jesus feeding 5,000 by multiplying a boy's lunch. Now, folks, this is not to say that all the praise Jesus was receiving as he rode into Jerusalem was because of the miracles, but much of it was. Much of it was. There were always those who followed Jesus around just to see the miracles, or for whatever they could get out of him. The curious were never far away from Jesus. And on the basis of what we read at verse 39 of Luke 19, on the basis of what we read there about the religious leaders, well, the complainers were never far away either. But it was a road trip with praise, and lots of it for Jesus. praise is always appropriate for Jesus. That's why we sing as we do. The shepherds left the stable praising Jesus. The wise men parted company with Mary and Joseph praising Jesus. Paul and his friend Silas moved around a lot, preaching the good news of Jesus, that he was God's Son and Savior of all who believe. They were sometimes really blessed in their witness and service, and often saw blessing come into the lives of others. But there were times when the religious leaders of the day didn't like the message Paul and Silas were preaching, didn't like the attention their message was receiving. And we know what they did on one occasion. They had them beaten and thrown into prison in an attempt to silence them, but they couldn't. In prison, in a cell, under lock and key, and probably damp and dark, we read of Paul and Silas witnessing and praying and singing hymns to God. Praise is always appropriate for Jesus. The road trip Jesus was on, it was a road trip with purpose. It was a road trip with praise. But praise on the part of some in the crowd was short-lived, wasn't it? In less than a week, some of the same people were calling for Jesus to be nailed to a cross. Crucify him, crucify him. And yet we must be careful not to tar all the Palm Sunday crowd with the same brush, so to speak. Because always within the crowds following Jesus, always within the crowds listening to him preach, there were the genuinely interested men and women and young people who loved him for who he was and who loved him deeply for coming to forgive their sins and to give them new direction and joy and hope in life. Praise is always appropriate for Jesus. Praise him. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, is a hymn we sometimes sing. And here's why. For our sins, he suffered and bled and died. A road trip with purpose, a road trip with praise. Oh, let's not curtail or restrain our praise of Christ as we enter this Easter season. Easter is the centerpiece of the Christian faith, the death of Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins and his rising again to forgive them is the glorious Easter message. It's the center part of our faith. And my, how others around us need to see it in action in our lives and get to know it for themselves. A road trip with purpose, a road trip with praise. A road trip with pain. None of us likes pain. We find it hard to watch a loved one in pain. Indeed, if a child or young person in our family takes ill or is injured, we sometimes say, I wish I could change places with them. Pain saps our energy. Pain drains us. And it can sometimes cause us to question God if relief doesn't come quickly. Jesus' road trip to the cross was painful. Painful mentally as the cross drew near. Painful physically as he would be mistreated and abused. Painful spiritually in that he would be forsaken by the Father while he paid for our sins. But you know what pained the Lord Jesus more than anything? The fact that those he came to first wouldn't listen to him. The fact that those he came to first resisted him and in the end rejected him. Jesus came first to the Jewish community that they would have the first opportunity of listening to him, that they would have the first opportunity to understand him and to commit to him, but they weren't having it and they told him so. And that's why there was pain on his road trip. Those Jesus sought to help, those he came to minister to, that he could have done so much for, they rejected him. Some of us will know how hurtful it is when we go out of our way to help someone and our offer or our efforts are resisted. Listen again to what we read at verse 41 of Luke 19 as Jesus approached Jerusalem and the people he gave so much attention to at first. Verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." Here we have the heart of Jesus breaking for those he loved and who should have known better. Friends, here in Drumrea this morning, on this Palm Sunday morning, we are a privileged people. We have been given lots of opportunities to believe in God and to confess Jesus, his Son, as our Savior. All of us have had opportunities to be saved, to commit to Jesus and grow in likeness to him. But what have some of us done? With those opportunities, there are surely many of us who have listened and who have learned and who have put our trust in Jesus and in doing so have come into friendship and fellowship with God. But I fear there will be those of us here today and perhaps on yet another Palm Sunday, and we think we are good enough for God as we are, that there's no need to be humble before God and to think about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins because we are good enough in and of ourselves is our estimation of things. Let me put it this way, and I trust in the simplest of ways. If we could make it to God and to heaven without Jesus, then God wouldn't have had to send Jesus on the mission he sent him on to redeem and to save. Jesus came and lived and died and rose again to open the way to God for folk just like us. Our part is to take God at his word. Our part is to see Christ as our sin bearer and Savior and say yes to him and commit to following him. I wonder, might some of us, in inverted commas, pain Jesus this Palm Sunday by continuing to keep him at arm's length? I trust not. Let me remind you of the psalmist's experience of trusting in the Lord, and it can be yours and mine as well. Well-known words of Psalm 34, verse 8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." Taste and see that the Lord is good. We've been on a road trip with Jesus this Palm Sunday morning, a road trip with purpose, a road trip with praise, or a road trip with pain. If you haven't yet done so, will you begin a road trip? A road trip with Jesus, a journey with Jesus. Accept by faith the purpose for which he came, to pay the price for sin. Give him the praise he is due, and press on with him each day. Let's pray.